Welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. I hope you found somebody to shake hands with and somebody shook your hand. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Want to be known as the friendliest church on the block. No, not just the block, in the whole country. We want to be known as that church that sees miracles. That's
actually,
how we want to be known.
We are that church that sees miracles.
Do what, honey?
Actually, we are that church that sees miracles.
Yes, we are. Praise the Lord. Yes,
ever since
Lord.
I ran into you at the Kinko's, I've been seeing miracles.
Amen.
Literally. That was a miracle, oh, yes.
Yeah, she got healed out of it too.
I did.
Yeah, sure.
Many times over.
Yeah, many times over. It's amazing, you know, when you meet a woman and have no idea that she's sick and got an incurable disease. And so you just invite her to a healing school, and she comes, and she listens to the word and hears that it's sin that caused it, and so I did do something wrong, so I'm going to repent, and now I'm going to be prayed for, and God forgave her and instantly healed her, and she's been healed
Amen.
Ever since.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was sick with that disease for how many years?
20? 30.
30 years. 30 years. And then all of a sudden,
I
Jesus showed up and got healed. And we're all pitiful without Jesus. You know, we're all pitiful. Cheryl wants to talk to you a little bit about the orphanage.
Yes. Christmas tree. I have 9 weeks. Nine. That's not very long. That's not very long at all. So, as you see with these little yellow slips, we started this. This is our 15th annual Christmas benefit for Christ Haven for Children. Last year we raised $112,700. Yay, we broke the 100,000 mark last year. And we gave Christmas to 4,606 children, teen moms, homeless, elderly, and 308 needy families. We not only give to Christ Haven, but we give to Grace, which is Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange that serves Grapevine, Colleyville, and Southlake. We give to, they have, I think it's 2,700 children and 700 families. We give to Salvation Army in Denton, which has 3,000 children and like 750 families. We give to the Wings of Hope, which is some airline pilots that came together. They also give to Grace and Alina Pope Home, which is for orphans and teen moms. We also give to the Justin Community Closet. In Justin, they service 3,000 a month, every month. It's probably more than that now. And where else do we? Oh, yeah, nursing homes. We gave to the Justin Nursing Home the last 3 years. We were told that 90% of the residents don't receive anything for Christmas because their family doesn't come visit them, which I think is pitiful. So anyway, so we gave to them the last 3 years. And then also because of Salvation Army, we give to 8 Denton nursing homes. And so that's a great thing. So we still need, what's my total? We've raised so far $9,876. So that's not bad, but that's not close to 112 yet. And I only have 9 weeks. So it's like the pressure is on. Not really. God always, no, there's
pressure
no pressure.
With the king.
No, there's not.
With the
God
king.
Always God always tells me, yeah. He says, have you ever been short? And I say, no. He says that every year to me. Have you ever been short? And I say, no. He always provides. So I don't have to worry about it. Strangers come up to me. The church, y'all help so much. And the church on the mailing list that get the media, they help so much. So if you can help on giving a donation, just write Christ Christmas or children on it so that I'll know that's where it goes, because otherwise everything goes into the general fund. But I appreciate all your help. I have the wish list. If there's a particular thing you want to buy for someone, or we need 75 Six Flags tickets. I think the Six Flags tickets, if I buy them before October 31st, are $65 a piece. So if anybody wants to buy a Six Flags ticket, I'd appreciate anything you could do. At Grace, they haven't given me their list, but it will be the same. Like, their family gifts are like towels, 2 sets of bath towels and 2 washcloths. Isn't that a wonderful family gift? If you don't have one, it is. They had a man that came three years ago. They were at a particular place, and the man had just been there and just brought in this enormous amount of towels. And he went in there and he told them, he said, you didn't know at the time that I was homeless, and he said, you gave me towels, and I needed towels, you know. And so he came back and brought all these towels, you know. So God's good. He's going to provide what he needs to provide for everyone. He's a big God. So if you can help, God bless you. We appreciate it. And she also cooks the cakes for the kingdom for us. And so
all the money goes
all the money goes to Christ Day, or well, actually goes to the Christmas fund. So if you want to help out and buy cakes, when are you going to start bringing them next week? Oh, well, then tell her what you want, Paul Sue. Tell her if it's, they're wonderful. Are you going to do different flavors, or are we just...
Yeah, I'm going
to Okay, so lemon, strawberry, and regular sour cream pound cake. And they're yummy. I've eaten all of them. So, y'all, help us out by eating a lot.
Okay.
God bless y'all.
I've got something to say right quick about producing fruit for the kingdom. You know, some people never do anything for God. But you notice what this young lady said she's going to do. You know, she's going to make cakes and she's going to sell them and whatever the money gets, so she's going to provide everything and then she's going to put all the money in the children's fund. This woman a year ago was sick. She had been sick for 20 years. She'd been in excruciating pain for 20 years. And she came up on the healing Jesus at this ministry. And Jesus touched her and healed her. Now then, she can't produce enough fruit for the kingdom. She wants to be about the master's business. I'm not wishing anything bad on some of you, but some of you might need a little boot and a rear end. Because, you know, you've had it so good so long. Yesterday, they brought two children to me. And when these two children, the last ones they brought to me, I thought, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're going to do. But I can, I'm able to stand up. I'm able to jump and run and play. I have some physical things wrong with this body, but it still works. I can't see as good as I used to. I'm not as steady as I used to. But praise God, I can still walk and I can still see and I can still talk. I had two children. They brought me two children yesterday. A 13-year-old girl and a 14-year-old boy. And those two children have lived in a wheelchair all knotted up their entire life. They have never walked. They've never been spoken. They've never done anything that you and me take for granted. When I prayed for those two children yesterday, I thought, you know, we thought this case that you just saw here that Jeff presented, we thought this was a bad one. Didn't we, Jeff?
Yep.
That little guy looked bad.
Yep.
And praise God, God is taking us step by step. He knows exactly what he's doing, because I remember a few years ago that if you brought me a headache, I couldn't even pray for a headache. Now then, I'm looking for people that got headaches. And I know when I touch you in his name, you're going to get healed, because I know I've got the faith to do it. I've locked the word in. I know it's in there. I know what my God can do. And he says, those that know their God shall do great and mighty things. But I think whenever it came time for little Gideon, just a few weeks ago, when this woman, I will have to say, this woman was persistent. She emailed and emailed and emailed. Our son's getting worse. He's getting worse. And yeah, he's going to die. And Cheryl and I, we would, on the email, we would pray and we would remit their sins. And then we'd say, it's done. We have prayed, it is done.
And she begged you to call.
Yeah, but they kept on and kept on and kept on. And she finally pleaded with me to call. She said, if you would just come up here.
No, she asked you to call first. She called her first.
Yeah, I called her and talked to her. I told them there's a sin. There's an issue here. You got to get right. I said, no curse comes upon you undeserved. And so I talked to her about that. And then finally, whenever the little boy wasn't getting any better. Y'all remember the story about Jenna, how that we prayed for Jenna, we prayed for Jenna, we prayed for Jenna. She got worse and she got worse until we finally went to God and found the sin and repented of the sin. And then y'all remember what the Lord did for her? Awesome testimony. I mean, awesome testimony. Well, this was the same kind of deal with Gideon. He's getting worse. He's getting worse. Now then his kidneys are stopped working. He can't digest food. And when the doctors say we've done all we can do and there ain't nothing we can do to help him, and probably in just a matter, I think they said a matter of weeks, he could probably be dead.
Yeah.
So the mother, she contacts us, please, Pastor Thurman, I know if you will come up here. I just know. I thought, you know, people are getting too much faith in me. It's not me. It's the master. He's the one that does everything, not me, not Jeff. It's the master. So I finally told Cheryl, I said, okay, we're going to go. I'm not going to go, but I'm going to see if Jeff wants to go. I said, we've sent him out several times before. He likes to go and take a day or two off from here and go do something. So I said, let's see if he wants to go. We'll send him to Pennsylvania. So I went in and talked to Jeff. I said, Jeff, if I buy you a ticket and everything, will you go to Pennsylvania and pray for this little boy? He said, sure, no problem. So we sent him on an airplane, and he goes up there. And as like he said, he prayed, Lord, what is the problem here? Because we know there's an issue. And what is the problem? And the Lord told him, something has changed with Gideon. What has changed with Gideon? Well, what did change? Because here he was carried in the mother's womb. And dear, think about this now. While this little child is being carried in mother's womb, daddy is sinning. He's breaking a covenant he made with his wife. And the covenant was a stupid cell phone. It wasn't morality. It wasn't, you know, adultery or something like that. He promised her he wouldn't buy a cell phone. I'll not live in the world. I will not buy a cell phone. He made a pact with his wife that they would do something, and then he lied and he broke the covenant and he bought a cell phone. Somebody said, my God, surely God wouldn't kill a child over a stupid cell phone. It's the lying he hates. That's why we got so many people in the church that's sick, because we don't believe God will do what he said he'd do. When he said in the Proverbs, I hate liars, that's what he means. I hate liars. I hate adulterers. I hate those that shed innocent blood. Let me tell you what, if you think you can get by with God, if you're sick and you got something wrong with you, you better be finding what the sin is, because if you don't get rid of that sin, I guarantee you're going to die. You better straighten your act up. God does not play games. If there's anything we've learned at this ministry, he does not play games, does he, Jeff?
That's right.
Broke a covenant he made over a cell phone. I mean, adultery, I can understand. A cell phone? Obviously, God takes things a little different than I do. But he bought a cell phone. And she got so mad at him for buying that cell phone, she said, I hate you. Now then, that's a dangerous thing too. When you say you hate somebody, you've just opened the door to the demonic world. And the devil, he knows now that he has legal right. And so the devil says, oh, okay, little Gideon, it's what has changed. The change is what she's carrying him in her womb. She gets into gross unforgiveness and tells her husband she hates him. If you're a woman and you've ever said that, you better repent to your husband. Because I guarantee every one of these things will be judged. We don't get by with nothing. And that's why we see so many people here get healed. We tell you the truth out here. And some people, I've had some people walk right out of the service and say, I don't believe what he's teaching. That's okay. I know what I'm teaching is the truth. I know it works, doesn't it, Max? It worked for you too, didn't it? He got healed. You know, I mean, but multitudes of people that come out here get healed. To think, mama's carrying a baby in her womb and she's angry. What does the scripture say about do not go to bed angry? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Does it say things like that? Why do you think God put that in the Word? Do you think there must be something behind this? You know, and here we are Christians, call ourselves Christians. We get mad at somebody over some little something. Some of the things you get mad at, you know, I wouldn't wish this on nobody. But if you could have been here yesterday afternoon when they brought those two, that little boy and that little girl, 13 and 14 years of age, and saw them in those wheelchairs, that mother is going to be strapped with those two kids until they die or she dies. And of course, you know what the covenant breaker, the daddy of those two children, you know what he did? He committed adultery in both cases. He got a woman pregnant and then he's out having sex with another stupid woman. And so he brings two children into the world because of his stupid sin. And they're going to be afflicted forever until God brings them somewhere. I believe that's why they were here, Mike. To train us. I sent you Jenna. And you prayed the prayer of faith for Jenna, and I healed her. I sent you Gideon. Jeff prayed, and I healed him. I mean, little Gideon began to get well immediately after the prayer and the praise. I mean, immediately he began to get better. His kidney started working, and he got healed. And week before last, when Cheryl and I was in Baltimore, they brought him from Pennsylvania. They brought the whole family and stayed all three meetings. And we got to watch little Gideon run up and down the aisles and playing like all the other kids. Isn't that something? And some of us have never really had a sick day or a problem. And all we do is fuss and grumble and complain. Or if we do get somebody to pray for us and we don't completely get healed by tomorrow, we're fussing and grumbling and complaining so this don't work. No, with that kind of an attitude, it won't ever work. You know, God is trying to get your attention. He's trying to get all of our attention. He has a plan for His church, and He is straightening up the church. He's building the church. I know that since He brought Jenna to us, I saw Him bring us Caitlin 15 years ago, and I saw that little girl get miraculously healed. I got to see Cook's Medical Center get cleaned out. I mean, every child that was on his deathbed, I prayed for down there in that 30 days I was there, and I got to see every one of those children live, every one of them. Nine of them that were going to die. I got to pray. I was known as the man that when you pray, the child gets well. That's the way it should be for all of us. We ought to be out doing something for Jesus. Well, we saw that. And then we saw Jenna get healed. That awesome story. Some of you don't know the story of Jenna. The pictures are out there on the wall. Awesome story. But today we got a fresh one. Gideon. Gideon just got healed. Perfect. Running up and down the aisles. And then after we had the testimony yesterday of Gideon, then we got to see that woman that right at the end bring those two little boys, or a little boy and a little girl, 13 and 14 years of age. When I looked at them, my heart didn't even jump. I said, God, this is a piece of cake for you. You told me not to worry about it. You told me just to lay hands on them and you'll heal them. Amen. So, Lord, I got that kind of faith now, don't we, Jeff? Amen. He's building our faith, don't we, Mike? Amen. Scott, we got that kind of faith. It's not that we have to have a great amount of faith. Just know a little word and walk in obedience to His word, love Him, and then just touch Him in Jesus' name. I mean, I can guarantee you that in the times that I've laid hands on somebody or reached over and touched them, if they have a excruciating headache, pain, or whatever, and just touch them, I know. I mean, in my knower, I know when I touch them in the name of the Master that they're going to receive what I've got for them. Don't y'all know that?
Amen.
You know it. And somebody says, you know, I need you to show me how to do this. No, it's not difficult. You're healed. I laid hands on you for healing. You're healed. Jesus told me, He said, you don't have to pray for them. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Just lay hands on them and they'll be healed. To those that believe, that's what He says, Max, you're absolutely right. And to those that believe, Paula, does it work?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You've been well about a year now, haven't you?
It's March. I was healed.
March. And you see the fruit this girl's producing? I mean, she did this last year. She's so grateful to the Lord for what she's done. She wants to produce fruit for the kingdom. And you know what that does to God? He loves it.
I did it last year before I was healed and leaving the whole time.
Oh, wow. Okay, so she did it. She made these cakes before she got healed. She was believing that she's going to get healed before. Now, I hadn't even thought about that, girl. Praise the Lord. She didn't wait till she got healed. She started doing things before. You know what we really, all of us, when we do go home today, on the way home, or when we start to leave here, you ought to stand up and say, Lord, I got fingers and they still work. I got eyes and I can still see, Lord. I want to praise You and thank You and worship You that I'm still intact. I can still run. I can still play. I will praise You forever. No, it doesn't make any difference what happens to me. I will praise You forever, Lord. I will worship You forever. You know, it's real easy for me to praise because I can just start right over here on the front row. and go around this room. And do you know that almost everybody in this room is here today has been healed in this ministry? Almost every one of you have received some kind of an awesome. Every one of you got a tremendous testimony. And to think that I went to a church most of my life, churches, that we never had a testimony. We never had a healing. We never had a miracle. We didn't even believe in it. But boy, that did change when I began to really get serious about reading and studying God's Word. And then when I see what happened with little Gideon, and I saw how quick God healed him. I mean, just think. Here his body is swelled up so big, his eyelids are hanging down. I mean, you really can't see how really bad he really was. He was sad shape. I mean, he was 30 or 31 pounds overweight, and that's about all he weighed. He was just, you saw how big he was? He looked blowed up like a balloon. But after we found the sin, now Cheryl and I had prayed for him two or three times here.
After every email and phone call.
Yeah, we prayed for him, but nothing worked. Just like with Jenna. We prayed for Jenna every time they contacted us. Every time, everybody prayed, but it didn't work. But when we found Jenna's sin, it wasn't Jenna's sin, it was the mother's sin. When we found the mother's sin and the mother repented of her sin, then we prayed, and in 2 weeks, Jenna was completely healed. Of course, we got that beautiful letter just the other day. Now, she was 8 when we prayed for her. The other day, the letter says, Pastor Thurman, we're so grateful for the Living Savior Church and what y'all have learned there and your prayers of faith. We want you to know that Jenna had her 17th birthday today, and her skin is just glowing. She's so beautiful. Her skin is glowing. Now, was that some spectacular thing we did? Now, what did we do? We found the sin. We got her to repent of the sin. Then we prayed a simple prayer of faith, and God healed that child. And then when it comes down to little Gideon, same kind of deal. I mean, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed with no results. No results, Jeff. And then we kept praying and looking for the answer. And God, on the way up there, I guess he was on the way up there when the Lord spoke to you, right?
Yep.
The Lord told him, he's praying, Lord, what if I know that you can heal this child, but I got to know what's wrong, what's the problem? And he gave him a word. What has changed with Gideon? The covenant was broken with Gideon. The covenant was broke. It didn't make no difference how many times we remitted sin. It didn't make any difference how many times we said it is done. We're doing it in total faith like we do everything. The little guy's getting worse and worse and worse. Now he's down to 2 or 3 weeks from death. And of course, he don't know what to do. He don't know what to do. Have no idea. The mother and daddy don't know what to do. But praise God, we know what to do. We know what to do. Pray. Like Jeff said, God can't answer a prayer if you don't pray it. But if you pray it, he can answer you and tell you what the problem is. And so whenever he did, Jeff went up there and he began to talk to him about what the problem is. And they realized what the problem was. And so when she said she's got the little guy, he's been in her womb and he's now about two years old, I guess, something like that, 2 or 2.5 now. And she said to her husband, I hate you. You know, for a God that said to the woman, I command you to love your husband. I command you to respect your husband. But he's not respectful. It doesn't make any difference. He's your husband. You have a job and a responsibility to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to obey him. And if you don't, I can assure you he's merciful, but I can assure you the day will come when you will wish you had have done what he said. Just like his family. She, the mother, it's just like Jenna's mother. In both cases, it was a mother that got into unforgiveness and bitterness and hatred. And as long as that mother was carrying that hatred, we could not get that child healed. It won't work. You don't need lots of faith. We could have had a faith to move a mountain, Jeff, couldn't we?
Yeah.
It still wouldn't have worked because it's not something we do. It's what God's doing. And God wanted that woman to know that she had made a covenant with her husband, and it doesn't make any difference what he did. She still must submit to that husband. She must never tell him, I hate you. But
he made a covenant with her.
he did, but he's the head of the house, and that's why God put him there, and that's why God holds him responsible, you know, to do what he's supposed to do. He didn't do it. But you know what? If she had just said when she found out that he didn't do it right, here's what she should have done. Cheryl's learned that about me. Lord, I turn Thurman over to you. Make him more like Jesus. You know, if she'd have prayed that prayer, if that woman had prayed that prayer, that little boy would have never got sick. He would have never got sick if she'd have did it the way God tells her to. My husband is the head of my house. I don't like what he did, but honey, I submit to your authority. I wish next time that you do something like this, if you're going to buy a cell phone, you'd tell me. In fact, come to me and let's talk about it before we do it. And guess what God would do? He'll honor it. Sure, he'll honor it. But they didn't do it that way. They did it the flesh way, the world's way. And that little guy got sick. And you're standing there watching a child dying because of a mother's sin. Yes, it could very well be. But I don't know that, and the Holy Spirit didn't put that on my heart, so I'm not going to say that. You know, the Holy Spirit talks through my mouth when I'm up here. And I'm in charge of the church. And whatever I say is coming from God. And it's nobody's responsibility here. Nobody. It's not your responsibility to tell me what to preach. God holds me accountable for everything I do. You know that? Everything. All I know is God would not heal that child. And I know that child was down to within 2 or 3 weeks of dying. I mean, his food, as you heard Jeff say, it would not digest in his body. It just went straight through. Had a disease that only 200 people in the whole United States of America, is only 200 cases of this disease a year approximately. That's non-existent. But he had it. Why? Because of their covenant being broken. You know, if we would just forgive each other and walk in love. Forgive and walk in love. Is that what God told us to do? In fact, if your husband messes up, how many times are you supposed to forgive him? Once? How many times, Kim?
70 times 7. That's 490.
Okay. 490 times if necessary. We hope it don't have to go that far, but if it does, you know, you just keep forgiving, right? You just keep forgiving. But anyway, the beautiful part about it was when Jeff got the word and he sat down with the couple and started talking to them, they came back into their right mind and right senses and they repented of their sin. Like Jeff said it, I'm not Jeff, but Dave yesterday said at the healing school, when would it have been a good time for David to call on God for forgiveness? Anytime. I mean, when he committed the act, when he did everything he did, when he killed the husband, any time alone he could have said, Lord, I repent, I'm stopping this, I've messed up. But he didn't. And so he didn't have Jesus to back up on like we have. So in David's case, his little child that was born to him in Bathsheba paid the consequence. It died. David fasted and prayed for a week. But God didn't heal his baby. He killed it. And it says, the Lord struck that child with sickness until it died. Do you know when we don't walk in obedience to his word, do you know we're walking on thin ice? It's a good thing he's merciful, isn't it, Max? Me and you are very grateful for that, are we not, young man? I am very grateful. Because he walks, that you and me have the privilege to walk on thin ice without it breaking. And of course, even if the ice does break and we go under, we can call on his name and he will send an angel to come down and get you. I was listening to a man last night after the healing school tell me about how in that city where he lives in, there was 30 inches of rain this past year. He started home after work that afternoon and he crossed a bridge and said he realized the water on the bridge was getting too deep, so he needed to back up and maybe not go across this bridge. And as he started to do, he looked up and here is a wall of water coming down the creek. It slammed into his car, slammed his car into the banister on this side, and the banister's this high, slammed into that thing, and here he is sitting there in that car with all this water pushing against the sides, and the doors are against the how are you going to get out? There ain't no way out. The water is coming up in the car, and he's sitting, he's realizing he's fixing to die. So he starts praying. He's a great man of God. He loves the Lord. Starts calling unto the Lord and say, Lord, how am I going to get out of this car? I'm slid up against the banister on this side. There ain't no way you could open a door. No way. Because you got tons of water on this side right up to the top of the car. Just about ready to go over the top of the car. Pushing on the doors on that side. You think you could open a door into that? No, there ain't no way. There ain't no way. So he said, Lord, water's beginning to come up in the car. It's up, in, up to his chest now. And he had already called somebody on his cell phone and told them where he was so they'd send a rescue team to pick him up. But he's got to wait. And the water's coming up. And he said, Lord, how am I going to get out of this car? If this water keeps coming up, I'm going to drown right here in this car. How am I going to get out? He said, Thurman, I've heard you say many times God's spoken to you audible. But he said, this time I heard his audible voice too. He said, son, turn the ignition switch back on. I said, Lord, it's amazing how we argue with God. Y'all all understand where I'm coming from. We've all done this, haven't we? We ask God for help, and then we think we know more than he does. He said, Lord, you know that everything's underwater. You know, the battery ain't going to work. He said, the Lord said, son, turn the switch on. So he said, I turned the switch on. When I turned it on, the little thing that glows that shows what the battery is, it came up ever so slow, and it had a light glow, so I had power. I said, Lord, what do I do now? He said, open the roof hatch. Who ever thought, open the roof hatch? God knows everything, and he wasn't excited. So he reaches down and hits the button to make the roof hatch go back, and he said, Thurman, that thing started going back so slow. I kept thinking, is it going to make it? Is it going to make it? But he said it made it. It opened back. When it got all the way back, the water's going all around the hole. And he said, about that time, I looked up, and there comes that boat. And it's jostling all over the place. They're coming to pick me up. And he said, I stand up on the seat, stand up on the center deal, and push myself back. And he said, I've gained a little weight over the years. He's not too much overweight, but he said, I had to suck it in to get through that hole. But he got through that hole. He got through that hole, and then he said, I got out there on top. So I was out there on top, and I see this boat coming, and it's just doing this with the water. It's going around the car and everything. I said, Lord, how in the world am I going to get from here to that boat? I've got to have some help. Is that a good time to pray? Yeah. And so he just said, Lord, thank you for getting me on that boat. And he said, I jumped for the boat. Now, if he misses it, he's going under. If he goes under that boat, the motors are going to cut him up back there in the back. But he said, I don't know how I got there, Thurman, but when I jumped, the next thing I know is my arms are hung on that front of that boat, and there's two guys pulling me over in the boat. He got out of that alive. He was here at the healing school yesterday. He told me that story yesterday afternoon. Do you know? You know how easy it is when you've been through an experience like that to just be driving down the road and say, thank you, Lord, that you're my Lord. All these people that say that you're not real, Lord, I'm so sorry that I've listened to that nonsense. I know you're very real. That's just like the other day I got a letter. And it says, you know, I don't even remember who this email came from. But it said they're trying to get, it's either two or three answers to prayer from the Pope so they can call him a saint. And they can't find two or three. So he said, I wrote him an email and said, you know, you need to contact Pastor Scrivener at the Living Savior Ministry. They have all kinds of answers to prayer every day. He said, those people, if that's what is required to be a saint, they're saints. I thought to myself, what a way to be known, huh, Jeff? We need to be known as men that can get our prayers answered somehow, some way. So anyway, I stop and think about the miracles that we see here and the things that have happened. And we've seen a lot of things happen since Jeff's been here. I mean, a lot of them. But God sent him here to train him. Now he's sending him on to do something else. We have no idea what he will do with Jeff, but here's the thing. If God starts you out with a little miracle, a headache, and you get to the point where that you can see things like we're seeing now, like Jenna, like Gideon, like all the things we see, and then the Lord brings us two people, a boy and a girl, that's so handicapped yesterday. He is preparing us to see his miracles. That's why I had no problem praying for these kids, although they're only 14 and 13 years of age. It would not have surprised me a bit. Now, Lord, I'm trying to tell this, you know, exactly truthful. But where I am in my walk with you and how I know how you are and how wonderful you are and what you can do, you're the Creator God. Lord, let me be in the place and stay in the place that if I reach over and touch that child and you instantly raise them up and everything's made whole, their skin is perfect and their brain's back together and they start jumping and running and praying, let me just say, now that's my Jesus, folks. Don't let me say, oh, I can't believe this. I don't want to be there. I know he can do anything, can't he, Paula? There ain't nothing hard for God, nothing. He is the Creator God, and he can do anything, anything. We need to become that church that can see God do those kind of things. And I believe with all my heart, he's preparing us for that. But as Cheryl tells me often, God knows how to cleanse and purify his own church. And she said, I believe in these last days, God is cleansing and purifying the church. Don't you believe that, Max? He is purifying the church. He wants men and women of God that know him, that spend time with him. Do you agree with that, Scott? He wants men that'll really stand their ground and men that'll praise him, men that'll worship him, men that'll obey him, men that'll do what he says and have no doubt in their heart. So whenever it comes time to send somebody out or pray over somebody, which that's what we're fixing to do, I'm going to ask Jeff. I guess that's as good a place as any, Jeff. That way you can just stay seated. And I think that's just as good a place. So, Scott, I want you up here. Mike, I want you up here. Bill, I'd like for you to be up here. Dave, can you get here? Oh, he's already over there. Okay. Now, those are the kind of miracles I'm talking about right there. I say, Dave, and he appears. Now then. Yeah. Now then, I'm going to do something that I've never done before. If you are a man and you believe that you are made the righteousness of God in Christ because of what Jesus did, and you feel comfortable, I invite you to also come up and pray with us over Jeff. Men, I want any man that feels like he's a man of God, that he knows Jesus Christ, I want him to come up here, and I want all of us to touch him. Praise God. This just blesses my heart to see all of you men coming up here to lay hands on this man. You know you're the righteousness of God in Christ. Praise the Lord. Wow. I want each one of y'all, each one of you, to walk by and put your hand on Jeff's head and say something, whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Just make it short, you know, or whatever. I'm not going to try to tell you what to do. If it's short or long, it's okay. But just pray over Jeff and bless him and as we send him off to this journey. He's going to go to Ecuador. Dave, let's start with you, and right, we'll just start right down the line here, okay?
I love you. Amen. I'm going to make it long. God bless you with the desires and the passions that God has put in your heart to fulfill them. He knows the plans he has for you, the plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And I bless you with seeing those plans and bless you with fulfilling those plans. And I pray that they're to come back here in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Praise
okay.
the Lord.
Jerry, let's just start with you. Let's start right at the end of the line. Just come around here, Jerry, and pray, and then we'll go on back to our seat.
Jeff, I praise the Lord for people like you. Praise the Lord to use you. I ask him to do many miracles through you. I just praise him for people who stand alone sometimes, but Lord, who do your will and your work. We pray in Jesus' name.
Lord, we just ask you to bless Jeff and meet his every need. The Lord, use him and thy service for thy honor and glory. And we thank you for it.
Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for Jeff, for his desire to serve you. I bless you, Jeff. I bless you.
Brother Jeff, I just lift you up to our Father, and I just say, Father, bless this young man as he goes out to do your work, to be about your business. And I just show favor and just protect him and just fill him with the Holy Spirit so that he can do all that you've called him to do. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen, amen, and amen.
Dear Lord, you've already blessed Jeff. That's pretty obvious. I'd like you to bless everyone that sees Jeff so that they know he's a man of God and that they open their hearts to him and all that he has to say. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you today. Lord, we're all in one accord. We have a corporate group here today, Lord. They're your saints standing around this room, seated in these aisles. Lord, right now, we know that the courts of heaven are open 24 hours a day.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, as we lift up Jeff to you this day, Lord, I pray that through the Holy Spirit that the power of God will come down on this man. The anointing will flow through him from the top to the bottom throughout this whole trip he'll be on. You'll put the angels around him, let him go forth, let him find favor in the eyes of anybody that he meets and touches. I pray for the protection over him, that you put a hedge around him of the Holy Ghost of fire, and that nothing can get in, nothing can get out. And we call any and all things against him void and negative. And I thank you, Father God, for the word that says, when two or more are gathered in your name, we can ask anything and it shall be done. So, Lord, right now we're depending on your word, your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, that Jeff will have a very successful trip and come back with testimonies, Lord, that will be awesome. And we just thank you now. We give you the praise for all of the manifestations that will take place throughout this whole trip and all of the prayers that are asked by these men standing in one accord, Lord, will be honored and acted upon this very minute. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all your blessings and everything you've given us. Thank you for Jeff. Protect him and guide him. Lord, we stand on your promises. And I ask on John 14:13-14, in Jesus' name, that you protect Jeff, you make him successful, give him the tools he needs so that he's well-received, he comes back safe and sound. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Daddy. I just call on those tools. I call for an increase in the anointing. I call for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment, and revelation to lead him everywhere he goes, that he will have his daddy's eyes and his daddy's ears, and he will hear the voice of the shepherd and do what daddy says. And we bless everybody that he needs, and the Shekinah glory of God will be on him. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise.
Love you, brother. Bless you, bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Bless you. Bless you. In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, and amen.
Brother Jeff, may the Lord be with you everywhere you go. We know by God's knowledge and his wisdom and his revelation to us that the world is not in good shape. Many things can happen. I know the Lord will be right by your side, no matter whether you're in Ecuador, whether you're here in Justin, Argyle, Texas. The Lord will be with you and protect you and bless you all the way. And you have your head up. And remember Psalms 91, no one can harm you. Bless you.
Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
Jesus, you have a worker here, and he listens to your voice. Lord, we just ask you to tune his ears to hear you for everything that you want to say to him. Lord, just work on his heart so it is finely tuned for your will. We ask you to tune his mind to understand as you reveal great things to him as he goes forward. Lord, we send blessings with him. We ask your angels to be around him. We ask you just to provide the divine path for him as he goes forward. We give you all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jeff, thank you for all the wonderful words and wisdom that you shared with us. Bless you. According to John 15:7, bless you in every way, shape, and form, from the top of your head to the top of your feet, coming and going, helping others, and we help you in the Lord also. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I just want to thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we praise you and we worship you. Your word says, ask, you shall receive. It says, whatever we ask believing, we shall receive. It says, if we abide in you and your words abide in us, whatever we ask, it shall be done. And I just think of Solomon, you brought up for me, when you said to Solomon, ask whatever you will, he had an awesome first request, wisdom and knowledge to be able to discern exactly what to do in every and each given situation. Because you're not a pattern God, you're an individual God, an individual moment-by-moment God, and that Jeff would have all the wisdom and all the discernment, which you've already blessed him with every spiritual blessing, but that he stays sharp and sensitive to your spirit moment-by-moment, each and every day. And I know there's something else in my heart about specifically how the ministry he has for you looks. And be careful not to look back and how things were and such, but to look forward specifically to the direction God has for you. In Jesus' mighty name, we praise and worship. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
God, give him his heart's desires because I know they're pure. Take him in a path that leads him exactly where he needs to go, because his love for you is great, and it's for many people that need his love to show us how to go the right path. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
God bless you, Jeff. The dear Lord has opened up some tremendous doors for you to walk through and just share his word. And just know that he is with you all times. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Father, I thank you that you minister to Jeff and through Jeff in whatever area he has need of, Lord. I thank you that no weapon formed against him shall prosper. And I thank you, Father, that your power would flow through him, Lord, and change that country down there. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father Jesus. Father, I release the blessings upon Jeff. And Father, I release your anointing upon Jeff. Father, withhold nothing from your holy gifts to him, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now go. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, thanks for Brother Jeff, what you called him to. We know the angel of the Lord encamps his round about those who love and reverence you, Lord. To bless Jeff with that blessing, Lord, and pray that you bring him to those you'd have him speak to. Lord, help him in an area that's become affluent and a little bit against your will in a lot of ways, Father, to reach the people you have him reach and bring a great light of your glory to that place, Father, through a simple means in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Father, so I hope you bless this man and protect him all the way from the plane to Escobar, and give him all the strength, how it says in Philippians 4:16, that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. And to give him wisdom and for the people that he saves, so he can win souls to Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Father, as we say, short goodbye to Jeff today. We're so very grateful, Lord, that you sent him to this church.
Yes, Lord.
What a wonderful, wonderful blessing. In addition, he's been to this church. We know that you have sent him. You have called him to go somewhere else and do something else for a while, that he wants to have some time with you. So, Lord, we know that you will honor that, and this church will honor that. We will greatly miss him while he's gone. But, Father, we pray that he will, you will put people in his path that need him also, and he'll be a great, great benefit to them in every way. And you will protect him while he's gone. You'll send your angels with him to be wherever he is and whatever he's doing, and that you will get him back to us when the time is right for him to come. And Father, although we hate to see him go, we know that you are sending him to do great and mighty works elsewhere, and we love it, and we appreciate him, and we're looking for him back. We're grateful, Lord, for this church and everybody in here, and all these men that have come up here today and said their blessings over him. We thank you for every one of them, and in Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Put the Holy Spirit on him, guide him, and protect him in his trouble. Give him the strength and the courage and the instruction. Spread the good news, Lord, bring all the lost sheep into your kingdom.
Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you for Brother Jeff. We love this servant's heart, this obedient heart that you've built in him. Lord, we ask that you would continue to pour out your Holy Spirit into him, guide him and direct him, make your path so abundantly clear that he can see no other. And thank you, Lord, for the power and the strength that you give each one of us. Thank you, and we pray that your will be done in all things.
Amen. Amen, 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 brother.
Brother Jeff, the Lord loves you and he's proud of you, and he wants to remind you to go be bold and be courageous and let the Holy Spirit flow through you so you will do amazing things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
You had a lot of hands laid on your head, but Jesus said to lay hands on your hands. As T.L. Osborne and Kenneth Hagin did with me, the saddest thing in the church world is laying empty hands on empty heads. And with anointing to flow richer in you. He said to sing the psalm to you. That he sang first to Isaiah, and then Isaiah answered back. And he said, who will go for me? Who will go for me? Who will lay down their lives for others? Who will go for me? And Isaiah, and I know your heart, sang. When he said, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. I will lay down my life for you and others. Here am I, Lord, send me. Now, Father, I thank you for your anointing to flow richly in him. That as your anointing flows, he will know beyond a shadow of doubt that you are working through him and in him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your precious anointing on this brother. Thank you for your gifts and callings that are without repentance. Thank you for meeting every need, spirit, soul, body, financial, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you, Jeff. May he watch over you and protect you. And I thank God for all these men that come forth to agree with you on your trip to Ecuador. And I know that as you return, you will have great things to tell us. just like Paul and Barnabas and all those as they went out and did things, you will come back and maybe even have time to share with us all night long, like Paul did. Wouldn't you love to have to get to go to church and the pastor or one of the pastors had just been out on a three-month mission trip or whatever, or a prophetic trip or whatever you want to call it, and we all showed up out here and he talks all night long and doesn't tell us all the stories that happened. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's the way the church is supposed to be. That's the way it is. But I believe that God is getting ready to show us some things here that's beyond our wildest dreams. I want you to start preparing yourself. When you see somebody, don't look at what you see, like that 13 and 14-year-old yesterday that was brought to us. Don't look at what you see. Look at the King. He's able to change that circumstance. He can make those kids get up and run and play, and he can do it in a heartbeat if he wants to. And I think we need to get to the point where that's what we ask for. In other words, Cheryl brought me a sign. I think she bought it for me. I put it on my computer or on my in my office, and it says, pray big. In other words, don't pray some little tiny things. Pray big. And I think that's what's been wrong with us. We've been praying for headaches when we should have been praying for new bodies. You know, we need to get over that. I mean, Miss Carrie and her little trip to Florida just recently, that'll speak volumes. When she went down there to a relative that was in hospice, and when they got there and saw her, I mean, that they just, oh, my goodness, what are we doing here? And the Lord knew her faith was, you know, falling off to the side. Didn't he, Miss Carrie?
Yes, he did.
And so he spoke to you and said, Carrie, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead after he had been dead 4 days. This woman's still alive. So she's going to be a piece of cake. And she was she not?
She was.
Y'all just prayed and the master, he healed her and she's still healed, right?
Amen.
You see, now we all need to get to where we think like that. When we all get to where we can think like that, then when you go somewhere, I mean, I think about how Cheryl, here a while back, some of you heard her tell this story. She was in a Walmart with her daughter. And a woman's son was not in church. He was out of church. He didn't love the Lord. He wouldn't do anything right. He's on drugs, his own heroin, I think he was, wasn't it? Yeah, and he was an atheist and everything. And Cheryl, I mean, right there in Walmart. She said, well, let's pray. And so she did, her and her daughter and that mother, the checker, checkout lady, they got to praying and everything, and Lord, Cheryl's just, I mean, she's dancing around on the throne of God. Telling God, Lord, you made us these promises. So we want this boy to come to know you as Lord and Savior. We claim his spirit, soul, and body for you, and she just went on and on and on. And then she praised and thanked the Lord for saving this boy and everything. Just a few months later, her daughter was back over there, and she said, Christy, you've got to tell your mother. My son got saved. He's playing drums in a cowboy church, and he's a totally different boy. Yeah, and he's off of heroin. He was totally delivered from heroin. God delivered. And why did he do that? Now you know why Christy, Cheryl's daughter, every time she has a problem, she, Mother, I need some help. Yeah, she said, your prayers always get answered. Now, is that a good way to be known? Be the mother that when your daughter or son, the sons need to call daddy. I was really greatly amazed and blessed this last week when my own grandson that lives right over here got hurt in a football accident and messed up his right leg. Well, when he came in, I didn't know nothing about it, but I came in and Preston came in with one of his sisters. And I said, wow, what are you doing walking on these crutches? He said, Granddad, I got hurt in a football game. I want you to pray for me. That's the desire of every man for his children. He wants them to look up Granddaddy. He wants them to come to him. And of course, his daddy's out of town. Now, if I got tickled at Tim the other day when they were out there in Grand Canyon. I think that's where they were, Grand Canyon. Yeah. They were out there in Grand Canyon and... in fact, your son was there, too. And they went down to the bottom of that canyon. And when they got down there, Ben got sick, Jeff's son. He got sick going down, and if you haven't carried a 40-pound back, 40-pound pack, 9 miles, you ain't lived. Now, believe me, I did, that's why me and his wife, Megan, stayed at home. I told her the other day, I said, me and you the only two smart ones in the bunch. We stayed at home. But whenever he got down to the bottom, he was so sick, he looked over and there was a payphone over there, and he said, I'm going to go call Thurman, call Pastor. And Tim says, what are you going to call him for? He said, Tim, your daddy gets his prayers answered. I've seen it, and I need some help. Tim says, he hears my prayers too. Let's all get together and let's pray. He hears our prayers. And I thought, praise God. That's the way I want my son to be. I want him to say, you know, I don't need Dad to pray. We need to pray. God's going to hear our prayer and answer our prayer. And, of course, they did pray. They did not call me. They couldn't get through to me. But I'm telling you that they did get out of that place. And I think the whole trip of walking was, I think he said 26 miles or something. 26 miles of walking uphill and downhill and uphill and downhill for 2 days. And they carried like a 40-pound pack out of that place, down in there and out. I'm telling you, if you're not in extremely good shape, don't even attempt to make an endeavor like that. I wouldn't even think about it. I'm not speaking a curse on myself, but I can walk to the mailbox and back and be tired with no pack, just me, just my 170 or 80 pounds. But anyway, I know the Lord's going to use Jeff in a mighty way. He's going to do some great and wonderful things. And I'm grateful that he's been here. I mean, Jeff was one of the people, I guess he's the only one that God has ever spoken to me and told me, actually spoke through a prophet. He didn't speak to me directly, but he spoke through a prophet, and the prophet spoke directly to me and told me, Thurman, God just spoke to me and told me he's fixing to send you an Assembly of God pastor from California to be a part of your ministry. That was on Friday. Tuesday of the next week, this man I'd never talked to picked up the phone and called and said, Thurman, this is Jeff Coulter. I'm an Assembly of God pastor from California, and the Lord told me to come be a part of your ministry. I said, come on. You got enough money to get here? He said, I do. I said, well, then come on. And he's been here, man, what, 5 years now, Jeff? Yep. 5 years. As you leave here today, I want you to praise the Lord that you're able to walk. Talk, you know, I mean, everything that we take for granted, everybody don't have that privilege. And I guess that it's just burning in my heart, these two children yesterday. What did your heart do, honey, when you saw those two kids?
I wanted to cry.
Yeah, Cheryl just wanted to cry.
Yeah,
just think, and it's all because of sin. It's all because of sin. Yeah, the husband. We got a major problem in America with husbands. We have a major problem, and we need to get over that problem, and we need to start walking in love. We need to let the Spirit of God lead us every day, every one of us. You will do some things that you don't understand when you're led by the Spirit. You'll do some things you don't understand. But that's beside the point. He's God, and he does what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And one of the things I have done as I pray before I come out here or wherever I'm speaking, I say, Lord, I'm your son. My mouth, my ears, my lips, my tongue, everything belongs to you. You speak what you want, and you bless who you want or you curse who you want. I belong to you. I am not my own. I am bought with a price, and I'm an ambassador for Christ. And as long as I let him speak through me, I guarantee you will see him do great and mighty miracles in your life. Great and mighty miracles. And that's what you have to do. You have to believe. And he will do things, great things. Wow. All the miracles we will never know. All the things we've seen God do till we get home to glory. We won't know. But all I can say is I have a problem here in this church And when people come to me and say, you know, you prayed for me 10 years ago, and me and my wife both got healed, I say, I don't even remember who you are. Isn't that a good problem to have? I love having that problem. I love it when people come in and shake my hand and say, Pastor Thurman, you prayed for my wife 5 years ago, and we had whatever, and we're healed. Or I love to hear my own wife say, you know, I met you 15 years ago, and I had a disease for 30 years, and you prayed for me, and I got healed. Been healed ever since. Isn't that amazing? Now then, the one thing I want us to learn today, as we're fixing to close up, but I want us to realize healing people is not very difficult. All you got to teach people in healing is to repent of their sin and then find them a scripture and act on that scripture. God promises to heal you every time. It's really so simple, is it not, Max? You know, so just think, if God told us in His Word to repent of sin, what's the first thing we need to do? Repent of sin. Now, then how do you find out what sin is? If you don't study the law, if you don't study the book, you will never know what sin is. I mean, Paul even said that. I didn't know what, you know, sin was until I began to read the law. As I read the law, I see what God doesn't like. And so I don't want to do those kind of things no more. I don't want to live in an adulterous situation with somebody else. I don't want to do those kind of things. I don't want to break a covenant. I don't want to lie to my wife and see the consequences. Who in the world would ever dream that you could take a little two-year-old boy and because his daddy lied and broke a covenant with his wife, and then when she stepped in there and said, I hate you, opened a door for the death angel to strike that little son. And I guarantee if that mother hadn't have been a persistent mother and hadn't have stayed with it, that little boy today would be dead. Don't you agree with that, Jeff?
Yeah.
Now, he would never have made it. But she was persistent and she did stay with it. And Jeff did pray. Well, Cheryl and I prayed, I don't know how many times we prayed for this kid. There's not any telling, was there, honey? Yeah, many times. But that's something we do a lot. You know, in fact, the other morning, I'll have to say that we were getting ready to close it up and go to bed, and as she's putting up the computer and all the stuff, I look over at the clock, and it's 10 minutes till 4 in the morning. So you wonder why I sleep till 9 or 10 o'clock. or whatever it takes. I can't live on no sleep, can you? But anyway, if you will get people to repent of sin, and you'll just touch them in the name of Jesus, if you're around people that don't want you to pray for them, then you remit their sin yourself. You just say, Lord, this person, I remit their sin. They don't even have to hear you say it. Say, Lord, I remit this person's sin, and then, you know, just go over and shake hands with them, you know. I mean, just say, hey, you know, may the Lord bless you. And you touched them with both hands, and now the Lord can heal them. And so when you do that, you've told the Lord, I'm going to lay hands on that woman, and I expect you to heal her. She doesn't know your word, but I'm going to lay hands on her, and I'm going to ask the Lord to bless her. So, Lord, I know you're going to do it, because you said I could ask you anything, and you'd do it. Now, if you're walking in obedience to His word and doing what He says, that won't be a problem. He will do that for you, and you'll get to see the Lord do great and wonderful things. And, I mean, when you're in Home Depot, like we've done so many times, there was a lady, I was over there here a while back, and there was a lady had I could tell she was talking with somebody about a boy, and I'm trying to get checked out, and I said, ma'am, is there something wrong with your son? She said, oh yeah, he's really critically ill. And I said, well, are you a Christian? She said, yes. I said, well, do you go to a church that believes in healing? She says, no. And I said, do you go to church? She said, yes. I said, okay, I belong to a church that believes in healing. It's called the Living Savior Church. So I said, Jesus shows up over there. So I said, He made you and me a promise. He said, if I ask Him anything, He'll do it for you and your son. So I'm going to ask the Lord to heal your baby today. And do it so quickly that when you get home this afternoon, he'll be like a brand new kid. She said, wow, you have more faith than anybody I've ever seen. How do we have faith? because we read the Bible. So anyway, I prayed for the little child and everything, and I don't know, it must have been 3 months later, 2 or 3 months later, I was back in there, and that same woman at the actually Chase place I checked out, she said, "Oh, sir, you're the man that prayed for my baby." I said, "Yes." I said, "What did the Lord do?" She said, "Boy, I got home that afternoon. He's like, there wasn't nothing wrong with him. He was perfect. He'd been perfect ever since." Amen. What did the Lord say we could do? Amen. Yeah, so Scott, I know Scott does that all the time. Him and Kim, but I know Mike and Gracie, many of you do. But what I'm trying to say is, God will do these kind of things for every one of us. Everyone, just like when Cheryl prayed for that little boy, her and her daughter, to thank the Lord saved that kid, put him in a church, he's playing the drums, he's delivered him from heroin, and of course, those are just little things that's not very difficult, so. That's it, man. When you think like Max, it ain't difficult for the Lord, right? Nothing's difficult for him. So when you pray, and of course, as Cheryl and I have got to where we pray for people, that's the thing I'm having to remember. With my God, there's nothing impossible. So when I pray and I believe in faith with nothing wavering, what can he do? Anything. So as Jeff goes off tomorrow and he heads to Ecuador, we'll be waiting with great anticipation to see what the Lord is doing. Now, he may not get out of town when he sees his first miracle out there at the airport. You can't tell.
That's right.
Your first encounter may be at the airport at the desk, Jeff. There's no telling what he's going to do. Or he may not do nothing until you get to Ecuador. We don't know, but we know that he's called you to go to Ecuador, and you're going to see what he does from there. Now then.
His first test is driving to the airport.
He won't have to do it. His son's going to drive him. So I think that's right. I think Ben's going to drive him over there. So, okay, so anyway, before we pray for closure, I want the prayer team members to stand up. Jeff is one of those prayer team members, and anybody you see standing is a prayer team member. If you need prayer for anything, these folks can pray the prayer of faith for you. Cheryl and I will be right here at the front. Scott and Kim will be somewhere, and Gracie and Mike and Jeff, wherever, and Dave will be around here somewhere. But if you need prayer, we will be here until you get your prayer answered. And if you are new here and don't know, all the CDs and DVDs are free. You can take any you want. Take them, give them to your friends. Listen to them. If you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a box over there on the wall. You can put your check in that if you want to give. And so if you don't need anything else, well, then after this prayer, you will be dismissed to either shop around, hang around, or go home. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you for this beautiful day. We thank you and praise you for all these wonderful folks that come here. We thank you, Lord, for all these men that came up today that prayed. We thank you for the women that sat by their side, the ones that have wives. We thank you for blessing their wives. And thank you, Lord, for helping all of us to be the kind of man you want us to be, a holy man, a man that will walk in integrity, a man that has no, that's the man you call us out to be, a man that purifies himself from all evil. And that's where we want to live. And I thank you for that group of men here that will do that. Now, Lord, as Jeff goes, bless him. He's been blessed every way he could be blessed today. So, Lord, we thank you for blessing him as he goes. And then as we pray for folks, Lord, I ask you to touch their hearts, heal their bodies, and just do a great work on everybody that needs a prayer answered. And we praise you and thank you for being the King of Kings and being our King. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Praise the Lord.